You know, it takes faith to move with the Spirit, to move with the plan of God. It takes faith to join our heart up with what He wants to say and do. And so my faith is, you know, it doesn't matter what I say, it's what He says. You know, you remember last week I said I prepared three different sermons because I wasn't really sure what I was supposed to give, and the Holy Ghost said, no, do this one. And so now I'm here giving you the second one because He knew I was going to have to do this. Praise God. But I'm so thankful that we're graced to hook up with the flow of the Holy Ghost and follow His plan. And what He has to say is more important than anything I could ever say, right? And, you know, there's three parts. We've said this, we've taught this before. There's three parts in a service. There's God's part, the Holy Spirit's part. There's my part I've prepared, but then there's your part. Your part is to come in and expect and have ears to hear, to receive, and put a draw on the Spirit, to put a draw on the anointing. Amen. You're not here to be entertained. I'm not going to entertain you. I will disappoint you if that's what you're looking for. But if you're here to receive from the Holy Spirit, He's on the inside. The guide's on the inside. And if you'll listen to what He's saying to you, even while someone's talking, even when Casey's talking, I say even, when anytime any of us are speaking, the Holy Spirit can say something to you in the midst of me talking, Sandra leading, opening up this morning. He can say something profound to you and give you direction. He's already been talking to me about some things this morning, just in prayer. And so be listening. Listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say this morning. Amen? I can't plan it all. I can't possibly plan the way. I love to plan. I like to plan out things ahead of time. And this is the area for me that I have to like let go and let God. And sometimes it's difficult for planners to let go. Sometimes we have to say, really? You know, I can't just flow with everything that I have written down. No, you have to flow with the Holy Spirit and what He wants to say. Amen. And so I believe He's got something to say. We're going to attach our faith with the moving of the Spirit because there's a divine order this morning. There's a divine flow this morning for us to flow in. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that? So I want to ask you, and I didn't prepare anybody, and I did this on purpose. What are you thankful for?
My sons that are serving God.
What are you thankful for?
God's blessing in my life and my family.
What are you thankful for?
My sister.
This is my brother. Good answer, good answer. You win the prize.
My mother-in-law.
Yeah.
This church.
Amen. This church. Amen. What are you thankful for, Austin?
Living a good life.
Right. Kat.
Freedom.
Yes. Marisol.
Her church.
Hearing from the Lord.
Marriage. Amen. We've got some good ones. I know there's some good ones on that side too. The reason why I didn't want to prepare anybody is because, you know, the word says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And so this is proving what you've been meditating on.
Health.
Church family.
I'm thankful for you.
My parents.
Salvation.
Family.
I am thankful for 40 years ago, God turned our lives around, and we've been serving Him ever since.
Amen. These are some great answers. Everybody wins the prize today. So, but I want to just focus on what we're grateful for this morning, but I want to talk about the reason why. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm supposed to be grateful. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. But there's a reason. Because when you are thankful, it hooks your faith up to expectancy in God moving in your life. It's a faith thing, and it also protects what He's already done in your life. And we'll talk about that in a minute. I want to just tell you this story real quick. I'll try to read it and not cry because it's so touching. In 1943, S.I. Kisher published a short story about a soldier during World War II. He was a young guy in Florida who visited the local library one day. He picked up a book and noticed little notes in the margin, handwritten and very heartfelt. He looked in the front of the book and noticed the name of the previous owner and her address. This was way before Google. Her name was Holly, and she lived in New York City. The soldier was so intrigued that he sent Holly a letter introducing himself and explaining that he was headed to Europe to serve his country in the war. But would she mind staying in touch so they could compare notes about the book that she'd annotated? Holly wrote back. The young man had a delightful surprise when he was handed the first of her letters to him while he was stationed overseas. Thus began more than a year of getting to know each other through the mail until a friendship became love. Isn't that sweet? Quite unexpectedly, this couple was falling in love with each other through words. Oh, I skipped something here. After a while, the soldier requested a picture of his lovely pen pal, but Holly declined. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Finally, after many months of war and a journeying home, the soldier found out that his route would take him through New York City. Holly and he could meet in person for the first time. He asked her to dinner, and she told him, "I'll be waiting for you when you get off the ship. You'll know it's me by the pink flower in my hair." The soldier was happy and nervous at the same time. The moment arrived, and he disembarked from his ship onto American soil just as an exquisite, young, beautiful woman approached. Her beauty stunned him, and he was so attracted in admiring her that it took him a moment to realize the most important detail. This gorgeous lady didn't have a flower in her hair. In a breath, she strode away from the crowd, and the soldier tried to refocus his attention on finding Holly. Another woman began approaching him. On finding Holly, period. Another woman began approaching him, a bit older and much less attractive, her face showing the beginning of wrinkles. A pink rose was tucked away in her graying hair. Purposing to hide his disappointment, the soldier squared his shoulders, saluted her, and greeted her with a warm smile as he remembered the woman he'd grown to love through the letters. "Hello, ma'am. You must be Holly. I'm so glad to finally meet you. May I take you to dinner?" The woman smiled back and said, "Son, I'm not sure what's going on here, but the young lady who just passed you asked me, I'm going to cry, to wear this pink flower. And then she said that if you invited me to dinner, to tell you, she'll be waiting for you in the restaurant across the street. It was a test. Will you do the right thing when it's hard, when you don't understand it? Will you feel especially grateful for it? Don't give up hope. God will not only give you the desires of your heart, but even more when you do what's right, even when it's hard. Will you praise God with tears pouring down your face because maybe your marriage is in trouble? Will you be grateful when your promotion is given to the one of your coworkers? Will you still have a heart of appreciation when you've been practicing these success habits? Change your perspective and you'll change your outcome. Just like in this personal story, you must decide to magnify the good that is happening in your life and stop focusing on all that's not right. Change your perspective and you'll change your outcome. Isn't that a sweet story? So I wanted to focus on having a grateful heart and focusing our perspectives on what God says in his word and why is it important that we have a grateful heart. I want to start out with Psalms 40, and I'm not necessarily going to read all of these. I'll read a couple of them, but when you look up the words "give thanks" in any kind of Bible program, there is a plethora of scripture. Psalm, almost every chapter has something in it where it says give thanks. Psalm 40:16, "Let all those that seek and require you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." Psalm 70:4, "May all those who seek and inquire for you and require you as their vital need rejoice and be glad in you. And may those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified." Psalm 7:17, "I will give to the Lord the thanks due his righteousness and justice, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." Psalm 18:49, it goes on to talk about singing and praising. Psalm 34, "Sing to the Lord, give thanks." Psalm 30:12, "To the end that my tongue and my heart and everything glorious within me sing praises to you, and I will not be silent. I will give thanks to you forever." Psalm 33:2, "Give thanks to the Lord." Psalm 35:18, "I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among a mighty throng." Psalm 44:8, It goes on to talk about giving thanks. Psalm 45, 17, I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, I will sing praise and give thanks. Psalm 54, 6, with a free will offering will sacrifice for you, I will give thanks and praise. Psalm 57, 9, I will praise and give you thanks, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to you among the nations. So write this down. The struggle ends when gratitude begins. The struggle ends when gratitude begins. If we can approach every day with a grateful heart, I'm telling you now, it'll change the trajectory of your life. And the Holy Ghost says, buddy, exponential. I don't know. He was telling me that when you were up here, and I didn't say it, and he's telling me to tell you, exponential. I know you've already experienced amazing, but he's saying exponential. Exponential in every area. Spirit, soul, and body. Praise God. So the struggle ends when gratitude begins. I want to challenge us today that we take a 30-day challenge to have no complaints. No complaints. When you do this, you're going to start realizing how much you do complain. We're going to take the challenge. We're not going to complain about red lights. We're not going to complain about traffic. Some of y'all really need to work on this area. Road rage. That's not of God. You're not being led by the Holy Ghost when you've got road rage. Some of y'all have some major self-hate. You don't accept who you are for who you are. God made each and every person in this room beautiful and in his image. And when you are saying something against who you are coming against the very life that God put on the inside of you. Each one of us are equipped and made differently on purpose. And the devil's playground is to compare, is to get in our minds and say, you're not this, you're not that. Look at them. They can do this. They can do that. And the comparison game keeps us from us stepping into the place where God wants us to be. I love this illustration Joyce Meyer, she gave one time, a long time ago. I heard her say, you know, every joint brings a supply of the Spirit. Every one of us have a different part to play. And if the toe were yelling about, I want to look like the ring or the finger, because the finger gets to wear the ring, then you wouldn't be able to walk. How many have ever broken a toe? I have broken a toe, and it is not fun. And I need that baby toe to be strong and mighty and do what it's called to do, right? Only the finger can wear the ring. The eye, if I tried to put a ring on my eye, it would just not work. The ring goes on the finger. The eye needs to be able to see where I'm going. The hands, the feet, every part of my body has a part to play. And the same goes for the body of Christ. Every one of us has a part to play. I want to encourage you today, find out who you are in Christ. Get in the Word of God. Deny those self-hatred thoughts, that shame and rejection. Praise God for deliverance today. There's freedom in the presence of God. Amen. Maybe you've got some complaints about your people around you, your family members. We're getting ready to enter into Thanksgiving and into the holidays. You're going to probably be around some family more. You're going to have opportunity. Everybody say opportunity. To be challenged with not complaining in these next 30 days. This is a good time to start this. Yay! Okay, money issues. Money issues. How many, this is a rhetorical, I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many of us complain we don't have enough, or the taxes are too high, or we're paying too much at the restaurants? You know what? God's my supplier. He's my source. I'm not going to complain about how much the gas is or how much I'm paying for a hamburger or how much I'm paying for groceries or how much. God is my source. He is limitless. And so if my mind is on who I belong to and how much he can supply all my needs, then I'm not worried about what's going on in the world. Amen? I live out of a resources from another kingdom. It's not this world. It's another kingdom. And so we need to get our head up, looking up. We need to do our part to do what God's called us to do, to be givers, not just takers, but givers, blessers, amen. And then there's a supply that comes to us when we obey God, amen. Praise God. We heard about that last week. Brother Orlando gave us a really good little mini session on that, and Buddy does every week. Let's not complain about political things. Amen. Regardless of what's going on, we don't need to talk about the negatives. Amen. Let's not complain anymore. And I know we've got more reason right now to be happy, but let's continue to stay on this path where we're rejoicing about what God's doing. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's believe that God is able. Amen. He is able. If we're doing our part, God can do his part. Our part is to pray in the Spirit. Our part is to take our place in the Spirit. Use your voice of authority for something that's positive and progressive instead of complaining and pulling things back because all you're doing is griping and complaining. Do you know that when we are praising God and we're worshiping him, that he inhabits the praises of his people? But when we're praising and complaining the devil, he inhabits the praises of his complaints, of our complaints. Amen? So when we're, well, you don't want to say amen, but when you're complaining, guess who's arrived? Guess who you've invited in, right? So just be mindful of that next time you decide you want to complain about your wife or your husband or your kids because you've just invited the enemy in. And where there's complaints, it opens a door for strife. You guys know where there's strife, every evil work abounds. So we want to shut those doors, right? We want to stop complaining about church. I know no one complains about this church because we have a happy church, right? But let's not complain about each other in the church, amen? Let's be encouragers. Let's not be smack talkers. Well, let me just step on this a little bit. We don't need to talk smack about each other, amen? We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our minds. We need to guard our mouths. We need to say good things about each other, amen? And if we're not seeing what we need to see out of each other, then we need to pray. Our place is not to talk bad or to gripe or complain. Our place is to speak up words of life and encourage one another, amen? Praise God. So a bad attitude is like a flat tire. If you don't change it, you're never going anywhere. How you respond to it affects the results of your life. Complaining will keep you in the same place. Complain and remain, praise and be raised. You guys know this. We've talked about this before, but it's important. The reason why God doesn't respond to complaining. What does God respond to? He responds to faith. Amen. He doesn't respond to need. You might say, well, God knows my need. I've heard people say that. But God doesn't respond to need. He responds to faith. And so when we're thankful and we have an attitude of gratitude and we're lifting up praises, that's an action of our faith. That's why when we come into, I believe that's why he says enter into the gates with thanksgiving, because it's an open door. There's a gate. There's a gateway that we've stepped into, a place where thanksgiving, it's a place where he can move because he knows you're expecting something. You're ready. You're looking for him to show up and show out. Amen? But when you're complaining and griping, what does that do? Have you ever bought a gift for somebody and they complained about it or they didn't like it or they traded it or whatever? It kind of makes you feel like, well, I tried. What does that do to God if we come in and we're complaining about the church, we're complaining about our husband, we're complaining about our kids, complaining about, and God says, I am your supply. I've provided everything you need pertaining to life and godliness, and all you need to do is access it in the Spirit. Amen? I see some people smiling. I won't look. God doesn't respond to complaining. Why? Because there's no faith in it. He responds to faith, not need. You know, the Israelites are a great example, and we know the story. They took a 40-year waste of time to make an 11-day trip. 40 years. I looked at the calendar last night when I was getting ready, and I thought, well, what's 11 days ago? That's a week ago Wednesday. Some of y'all are on a 40-year waste of time when you could have been where you're supposed to be because of what's in your mouth, what's been in your mouth. Amen? It's what's been in your mouth. Complaints, griping, not focused on what you're happy about, what you're thankful about. You get what you focus on. You get what you focus on. How many have ever bought a car and all of a sudden everywhere you see the car that you just bought? I bought a dark green Kia recently, and everywhere I went, I'm like, there's another one. I'd never seen this car before. I thought I was getting something unique, and now everybody has it. Have you done that? And the specific kind and the specific wheels and specific things. You focus on those things, and all of a sudden, it's there everywhere. That's what happens when we focus on God and his goodness and his faithfulness, and you start saying something about it. You've released life. You've released some breath with life in it, and it's creating something just like he did in Genesis. He spoke something. He breathed life into it, and there it was. We have the same ability to do so. The word is nigh thee even in your mouth. So you speak the word only. You start saying some things about your circumstances, and boy, howdy, you're going to see some change. Amen? Now, I can't guarantee it's going to be instant because there's some processing that has to take place. You've taken years and years to complain, and all of a sudden you want something to change just like that. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we got to change some things, change the trajectory of where we've been going, right? We got to get some connection again, right? And so we got to do that by saying something positive, saying the word of God, speaking the word over our circumstances. Philippians 4:6 says, do not fret or have any anxiety about just a few things. No, it says anything. How many have had an opportunity, there's the word again, to have anxiety or fear or fret over anything? We all, every one of our hands could be up right now, right? What does the word tell us to do? In every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, divine, definite, correct request, with what? With thanksgiving. Continue to make your wants known to God. So there's the offering up of thanksgiving, or the offering up of prayer, the petition. We've laid a hold. Remember we talked about last week? We lay a hold with some in prayer with things. We lay hold on what we need in the spirit in prayer. But then we rejoice our way through the battle. With thanksgiving, we offer up that praise, that worship, and we continue to make our requests known to God. How do you know you're worrying? How do you know if you're worrying? Does anybody know? If you're thinking about it. And if you're thinking about it, then you're going to talk about it. So you can just retract everything. If you're talking about it, then you've been thinking about it, and you probably haven't been meditating on the word and focusing on thanksgiving. So this is really easy. I don't want to make it hard. We offer up prayer and petitions. We lay hold and claim what's ours. And then we give thanks. It's so simple. We give thanks. Praise is what wins the battle. And so I'm just kind of continuing what I talked about last week. So let's not worry about anything anymore. Amen? And I know there's a temptation every day. And you're going to be tempted even more because we talked about it today. It's like it's a test. We're going to talk about, you know, math today, and then tomorrow there's going to be a test, so get ready. So it's the same with this. Worry closes the door to the power of God. Worry closes the door to the power of God. Have you ever noticed that when you're worrying and you're in fear, you can't hear God? Has that happened to y'all? When you're worrying and you're in fear, you're like, I just can't seem to get clarity. I need somebody to pray with me. I need somebody. You know why? Because you've been complaining, you've been worrying about it, you've been fretting about it. Worry is meditating on something. We talked about, what's our word? Ruminating. How many know what ruminating is? Give us a sample.
It's meditating on the same thing over and over again. You just keep regurgitating it and thinking about it. So ruminants, cows, sheep, deer, goats, they draw nutrition every time they regurgitate their food and then chew it again. So they're pulling something from it every time it comes back up.
So you're pulling something from it every time it comes back. This goes the other way, too. When you're when you're focused on the negative and you're focused on what's, you're complaining about things, you're pulling something from it every time you say something about it, drawing from that negative spot, right? This is so simple. This is not anything profound or new. I know this is stuff we know, but it's stuff we need to be reminded of, right? Right? So we have to meditate on the word of God. Worry is meditating the wrong direction. It closes God out. It shuts the door. So you're saying, God, I need help. And you keep shutting the door because you keep complaining. And you complain, you remain. You stay in that same place. Complaining crowds out the potential for change and magnifies the problem instead. Complaining crowds out potential for change. How many have just been believing God for change, and you're not seeing the change, but yet maybe you haven't changed what you've been saying? And so you got to change what you're saying to be able to change what you're seeing, right? Every word you speak has some kind of outcome in your life. Every word you speak has some outcome in your life. Good or bad, you're going to see an outcome in your life. Your response, this is the Holy Spirit gave me this on the way to church last week, and I feel like it bears repeating, but your response will either annihilate or activate the power of faith on your behalf. It'll either annihilate it, it'll destroy it, your response, or it'll activate the power of faith in your life. It's up to you. Words have to be spoken in line with the Word of God. That's why it is important that we get in the Word, we find out what the Word of God says about our circumstances and our situations, and then when we're confronted with situations, then we decide, how am I going to respond? You respond by the Spirit, you react out of the flesh. You react out of the flesh, it may be dangerous. It may be a place where you destroy some relationships, destroy some things. But when you respond by the Spirit, led by the Holy Ghost, you've got the guide on the inside, you take a moment and find out what He says, what God says about this. And it could be a totally different situation than what you even expected. He might have you do something so totally different because you're not flowing out of the realm of the mind. We flow out of the realm of the mind too much. We've got to flow out of the realm of the Spirit. Now, I know God will use our mind. We're not just zombies, but we've got to get the mind of God on it, and that comes from our spirit, man. And the Spirit will send it to our mind and let us know what He's wanting us to do, right? So we've got to get the mind of God on it. Complaints sound powerless. Thankfulness sounds powerful. Complaints sound powerless. Thankfulness sounds powerful. How many have ever experienced that? You've been in the middle of a situation and you just feel so down and out and tired and distraught. And all of a sudden, you enter into praise. You're maybe in a worship service. I don't know, maybe this morning you came in and you were feeling heavy. And we started worshiping God. And we started saying, get up out of that grave. Get up out of that grave. And all of a sudden, there's something that ignites on the inside of you. That praise of Him and who He is in your life. The focus is redirected from who you were and what you did and how impossible your situation is and how you're not going to make it anymore and what about this and what about that to who He is and how amazing. And yes, I believe God's going to do this thing. He's going to help me through this. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So I noticed something when I was studying. Successful people keep a gratitude journal. How many keep a gratitude journal? Does anybody want to admit it or not? So I want to encourage you, another challenge, to start a gratitude journal. Maybe just write down a couple things every day that you're grateful for. It doesn't have to take a lot of time. You can even jot it down on your phone, maybe. But or this is another illustration, a way you can do it. Start a gratitude jar. And I think it'd be good for moms and dads to start this with your children, to get into the habit. Because kids like to complain, they pick up on what's going on. There's a spirit realm, and they will pick up on what's going on. If they're in school, who they're around, depending on who they're hanging out with, they'll start picking up on what's going on around, and then they'll bring that home. So we need to be in charge of our house spiritually. I said we need to be in charge of our house spiritually. We don't just let that come in and let it dominate, and then before you know it, everybody's fighting against each other. Let's recognize the spirit that's in the house and make sure it's the Spirit of God. Amen. And so this is a good way for us to write down some little, every day, just write down two or three things. Sometimes I'll do this with Braden. If he's kind of having a bad day or I can tell he's kind of moping about something, I'll say, give me three things that you're happy about, you're grateful for. He'll tell me three. And he doesn't pull out of it. I'll say, well, tell me three more. Because, you know, until you get out of that place. And so I think we need to hold each other accountable. We all need accountability partners, right? We need somebody to be able to speak into our life. And you need to want to have somebody speak into your life in this regard. And be able to say, you know what, I think let's talk about what we're grateful for today. Let's talk about what we're thankful for today. Amen? Because it'll keep us in check. It'll keep us in alignment with the power of God and keep us in faith. Because that's the goal here. We want to stay in faith. Amen? The moment we step out of that place of being in faith, we've stepped into a complaining, and the enemy has all kinds of hands in it. He can stick his foot in, do what he wants. So successful people keep a gratitude journal. Habakkuk 2:2-3, and we know this scripture. It talks about, and the Lord answered me, and he said, write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tablets that everyone who passes may read it and quickly as he hastens by. For the vision is yet for the appointed time, and it hastens to end to the fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Now, when I was reading this, I thought, you know, there's some people that probably feel like they've been disappointed because they haven't seen the fulfillment of some things. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it because it will surely come. It will be behindhand on its appointed day. The only thing that will delay what you have vision for is what's in your mouth. I said the only thing that will delay what you have vision for is what's in your mouth. Because I'm telling you, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the power of the Word. We have the power in the name. We have the power of the blood. We've got a tool belt equipped with everything we need. Everything. And so if there's some things that you haven't seen manifest in your life, I would say, what have you been saying? And then what have you been saying, but what have you been thinking on? Because your meditation is going to produce your words, and your words is going to produce your life. So if you don't like your life, change what you're saying. If you don't like your life, change what you're saying, change what you've been thinking on, what you've been meditating on. The Word says, give no place to the devil. We give him place. He doesn't just come in and take place because he's a defeated foe. Jesus defeated him, and we have victory over him because of the blood, right? Y'all know this, right? Y'all awake? And so we give him place when he has place. And I know there's times when we have attacks. There's different things. I hear people say, I'm under attack. Well, there's things that happen in our life, and we can sense that. But we have authority over the enemy. We push back. We push back the darkness. Amen? Because we have a place in the Spirit where we take our stand and say, no, you're not coming in. You have no place in my life. Now, I know there's some things that when we're dealing with people, some of our situations are dependent on other people's choices. Other people's wills are involved. Especially when you're married, you've got other things that are going on. It has to be a joint. There has to be harmony. And in the movement forward, you know what I'm saying here? So sometimes we have to ask the Holy Spirit to help the other person in alignment with what the direction that we're going in. Amen. So we have to remember to not give place to the enemy, and the way we do that is by staying in that place of praise, staying in that place of worship. We have to renew our mind. How many know renewing your mind is vital? It has to be done every day. We have a renewed spirit, but we have to renew our minds daily. And renewing your mind means taking on the thoughts of God. That's what renewing the mind is taking on the thoughts of God. An unrenewed mind will think wrong. An unrenewed mind will think wrong. And if you're not renewing your mind, it's an open door for the devil. So he can only come in. The entrance is in the mind. So when you are renewed in your mind, you will recognize wrong thoughts. Are you with me? So when you renew your mind, you'll have the thoughts of God. When you have an unrenewed mind, and you don't just get a renewed mind when you become a new spirit, when you become born again. That mind has to be renewed day by day in the Word of God. There's transformation that takes place. And if you're not transforming through the Word of God, then that unrenewed mind is open to deception. It's open to the enemy. Are you with me? All right. And so, and it's true. So when we accept the wrong thoughts, we give him entrance into our life. So being grateful is one way that we can express our faith, and being grateful is a way we can attach our faith to something where the devil can't have it. And so kind of what the reason why I was having Casey give her testimony this morning is because she's already told you how she's overcome the enemy in her life. And so there's this second blow here, and she's not given up. And I'll just say this, a lot of times we can receive our healing, the enemy will come back and try to steal it. And we have to stand our ground. We can't let him in. We can't give him place. And so like she said, she's been thanking God and praising God. She said the Lord directed her. This is a missing link here. We've got to praise more. It's the praise cure. We've got to praise more In that place of praise, there's a place of release of our faith. So she's surrounding herself with faith. I heard a story about a minister who he was speaking, and this woman was, every time he would talk about healing, she would stand up and just lift her hands and just worship God. Just discreetly, not in an obnoxious way, but she would just lift her hands. And so he had an opportunity to meet her and ask her, what happens, you know, when you get up, and what's promoting or provoking you to get up and do that? And she said, well, the Lord healed me of cancer 10, 20 years ago. So every time you talk about healing, I just feel like I need to stand up and thank God. And so what she's doing by thanking God and giving him praise for what he's done in her life is she's releasing faith, and it's protecting her from any more entrances for the enemy. We can't go back and look and say, well, what did I do wrong, or why did I have cancer, how did a cancer come, or, you know, all these open doors. No, we have to continue to thank him, and that protects us for future blows. It closes the door so the enemy can't come in. How many have had God move in your life in that regard, in healing? You've seen him move in your life. And so it's a way where we can say, thank you, Father. I'm so grateful that you healed my body. We probably, every one of us, have been healed in some form or fashion in this room. And so when we're thankful for him, it shuts that door, but it puts faith in front. It closes the door to the devil. He can't come. And we just continue to thank him and praise him, God, for what he's doing in our lives. Amen. Praise God. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm grateful this morning. How about you? Amen. So there's three primary ways. I want to just mention this. Three primary ways that we open the door to the devil. The one is we lose our peace. We're not trying to get peace. We already have peace. Peace is the fruit of the Spirit. It's been bequeathed to us. We've inherited it. And so that's why the enemy comes to steal our peace. We allow our peace to be stolen. We have to continue to stay in that place of peace. Why? Peace is what guards our hearts and our minds. And where's the battlefield? The mind. So we have to continue to stay in that place of peace. Number two, we veer off or out of the plan of God. We veer out of the plan of God. That's, I like what one minister said. The plan of God is our wealthy place. It's the place where God has us, and we should be increasing all the time. Number three, a lack of gratitude. A lack of gratitude. This is one of the primary ways that we open the door to the devil. What you're grateful for opens the door to God's blessings. You become mindful of his blessings, and what you're grateful for and mindful for, the devil can't steal. The devil can't steal what you're grateful for. You're exercising your faith for it. Amen? So the devil can't touch what you're grateful for. I've never seen a marriage go into a divorce court and the couple say, I'm so grateful for him. I'm so grateful for her. She's been such a blessing. No, there's no blessing on the lips when you're going into divorce court, right? A lack of gratitude will not give you better anything. A lack of gratitude won't get you better anything. You've got to continue to be grateful and thankful. Gratitude changes everything. There is a gratitude glow. It's a real thing when you're thankful for what God's doing in your life. Amen? Praise God. Silent appreciation blesses no one. God wants to hear your thankfulness. God wants us to be grateful and to say so about it. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. I love the scripture in Luke 17. It talks about the story of the lepers, the 10 lepers who, we'll read it real quick. He said, as he was going into the village, he was met by 10 lepers. They stood at the distance. They raised up their voices and called Jesus. I'm just thinking about 10 lepers, 10 guys standing there. And they're raising their voices while he's maybe ministering. And they're yelling out, Master, take pity and have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go at once and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cured. They didn't wait. They didn't stop and question. They didn't say, well, look, I'm not experiencing. No, as they went, it says, they were cured and they were made clean. Then one of them, upon seeing that he was cured, turned back, recognizing and thanking, praising God with a loud voice. One out of the 10 came back and thanked. And he fell prostrate at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over. He was a Samaritan. And then Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was there no one found to return to recognize and give thanks and praise to God except this one guy? Calls him alien, this one guy. And he said to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith, that trust and confidence that springs from your belief in God, has restored you to health. This is a great story for us to remember that 10 lepers actually probably received, but I believe only the one kept his healing because he was the one that was grateful and thankful. Your thanks and your praise will help you keep your healing. It'll help you keep whatever God's blessed you with. If you're not grateful and not thankful, then that's an open door for the enemy to come steal it. Because that's what he does. He steals. He's a stealer. Amen? He's a thief. So the results when you express your grateful heart to God, this is just statistics. This isn't even biblical. This is statistics. But you'll reduce your stress. Some of y'all in here need to reduce some stress by giving thanks. You'll attract opportunities by being thankful and grateful. It'll deepen your faith. It'll cause you to look to God for who he is in your life, and it'll unblock, this is spiritual, it'll unblock miracles that God has for you. I believe God is a miracle-working God, and there's a scripture that says he's looking, expecting, waiting for those that he can show himself strong on their behalf. And I believe what he's looking for is our faith and our praise and our expectancy for him to move in our lives. Amen? Praise God. I'm so thankful that we have, and you know, one of my favorite scriptures is, in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God. I believe it's the will of God because it's the way of escape. Whenever we're dealing with circumstances and things in our life, it's a way for us to find the answer.